You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Once again, time for our tech feature on a Monday. We've introduced this feature from the start of this year. We're going to try and look at some interesting tech developments and even some interesting tech news. This week, we're taking a look at some very, very interesting developments from the Microsoft family. Microsoft Office, everything we know and love, Microsoft Word, PowerPoint, and all of those things in between could be coming to an end for South Africans. Joining us, as always, when we look at these tech matters is our resident tech specialist, tech journalist, and founder of recharged.co.za, Nafisa Akabor, to take a look at these developments and see if we can make sense of them. Nafisa, good evening. Lovely to catch up with you, as always. What's happening with Microsoft? Are they finally tired of giving people free subscriptions?
Hi, Jimmy. So, Microsoft has continually been increasing their prices for their Office 365, or rather, I should say Microsoft 365, because they rebranded in 2020, which I remember paying $1,100 a year, and now in Feb 2025, it's $1,600 a year, and this is just for an individual subscription, which is obviously fairly expensive because this is the upfront price you need to pay to get that rate. So if you, most people can't afford that price upfront, then you need to subscribe per month, which is about $160 a month, and then obviously that will add up to like $1,900 a year. So that's where we're at with the prices for Microsoft products.
Microsoft at some point came with your device. It came with the computer that you bought. It came with the laptop that you bought. And you never had to pay for this. And I suppose around the time people started moving to subscription models, they also thought we could do this and all of that. And it's always nice to be able to do it if you've got enough market share. But what happens now? I mean, this obviously now makes it quite expensive when I'm looking at a Microsoft product. Are there products out there that people are exploring, that people are saying, you know what, this is just not a cost that makes sense anymore? I mean, obviously for businesses, it's a different thing when you're dealing with 20, 30, 40, even 100 computers in an office. But for individuals, are there alternatives out there?
Yes, so I think the most popular one that most people will already be familiar with, but I'm not sure if they considered using it, it's Google Workspace. And this is cross-platform, so it works on your Windows, your Mac, your Linux, your Android, your iOS, whatever device you have, it works. And also it can be accessed from a web browser. So this offers a direct alternative to Microsoft products. So you got your Google Docs, your Sheets, your Forms, your Slides, whatever you can do on Office 365 or rather Microsoft 365, you can do it on this. And it also comes with like 15 gigabytes of storage, which you would have from your Gmail account. But even Google doesn't charge a lot if you want to upgrade your storage, which is like 100 gigabytes. So I think 35 Rand. So what I like about Google Workspace, I use a whole bunch of software. This is great for collaboration. So I don't know if I should say this, but I plan my holidays on Excel or Google Sheets, which is what I've done with a friend living abroad. It's great for the collaboration aspect where she sits in her country, I'm here, we're both editing in real time, we can see the changes. So that's fantastic. But the key thing about Google Docs or Workspace, you do need an internet connection for it to work best with all of its features. And that, I mean, not everybody has internet connection, so that might put them off.
So what is the alternative then? Because, I mean, I've used Google Docs as well, and I enjoy that feature about being able to kind of collaborate on certain projects. But how do we navigate this going forward? Because I can imagine devices that come with Windows pre-installed as an operating system, those that haven't opted to go the Linux route or that haven't got the Macs, you kind of almost think Microsoft Office becomes the default. Is there something else maybe that I can go and purchase and download and install that operates like a Microsoft? Because now also I have to learn a whole new thing and learn how this particular software works, and does it look the same? Are there alternatives out there?
Yes, I can touch on two of them. So one is WPS Office. This works on your mobile systems and your desktops. So Windows, Linux, Mac, Android, iOS. So these WPS Office, it tends to come pre-installed on your Chinese smartphones because it is a Chinese software, and like your Amazon Fire tablets. It has your typical writer, presentation, spreadsheets, your typical Microsoft alternate. So you might be familiar with how it all works with the interface, so you don't have to relearn. But the key thing, you know how they say when the service is free, you are the product? So the free free version of this product on your desktop means you are going to get ads. However, you can pay to not see the ads, but the price is like less than half of what you'd pay for the Microsoft products. So it's about 63 rand a month or 750 rand a year for no ads. And of course, it comes with like other benefits if you're already paying, which is like 20 gigs of cloud storage, which is huge, and PDF editing features, which I think is major because PDF editing typically is a paid-for feature, and for this price, it's great. And it also works on 9 devices. So, Jimmy, I've got a little hack here. If you're like a small business or entrepreneur, you can bandy up with two of your friends. So the three of you can split the cost of 750 Rand, and on the 9 devices, you can split it with like one PC and two mobile devices. And, you know, this could be a cost-effective solution.
That sounds fantastic. Nafisa, what about those that are out there going, I can't trust the Chinese. They're going to steal my data, so I can't use a Chinese-based... I mean, people are out there. People have preferences. People have things that they gravitate towards. You mentioned two alternatives. What's the other alternative? Yes.
So the other one is called LibreOffice. It's an open source one, and it works only on desktop, so your Mac, your Windows, and your Linux. So the fact that it's open source means if you worried about privacy, you can go and inspect the code if you have that kind of knowledge. So that will put you at ease, and I think more government departments would want to use something like this because of that, or like high-level organizations. So this is... it's exactly like MS Word. It works offline, but it's only those apps, and it works on your desktop. So... like I mentioned, Mac, Windows, Linux, it does not work on your mobile devices or your tablets. And there's no like email or like your Outlook alternative. It's just very basic word processing, spreadsheets, and presentation, and no cloud features. So you can use this version, LibreOffice.
Nafisa, when are these changes coming into effect from Microsoft Office's point of view? Because I can imagine they would also then want to keep revenue, and they might even offer those incentives. If you sign up now, we'll give you a discount on the first year's subscriptions and all of that. But when do these changes come into effect for existing users? And is there kind of a we'll shut you down at this point kind of thing?
So it's more about, because you see this is software as a service, you're paying an annual subscription, it would come into effect when your existing subscription runs out and you need to upgrade. But the new prices start in between mid-January and then March for existing users.
So for existing users, new price tariffs have already begun to be implemented as early as January of this year, so last month, and we're expecting to see this change continue to take place. That's a very interesting development from Microsoft. Do you think, Nafisa, that it will then increase their revenue models? I mean, companies like Microsoft rely on these subscriptions on a regular basis to be able to grow their revenues. Is this something that Microsoft thinks that, what I imagine from their perspective, they think it'll be a more sustainable business model? But do you think this is something that will either push people further away from Microsoft, or people will just accept it and move on?
So the reason they're doing this online annual subscription is that you get the latest and the best features, and they can roll out AI, and you know, you can instantly get it. We did speak about it earlier, where when you used to buy a PC, you got everything for free. So those were not sort of upgradable. So the advantage of this maybe is what they're banking on, is that people would continuously want new features, secure features, AI, whatever the case is. I mean, we know a lot of companies and organizations, once they set on something, it takes a very long time to switch the software of what you're using. But if people are more conscious about what they're paying and like sort of scrutinize the costs, they could pay nothing and use an alternative service.
Mm. Nafisa, is $199 for the family edition, I suppose, is that competitive in the market when you think about, again, like you said, the free features that might be out there, or even just the price point versus other regions? Is that a competitive price point?
Yes, so the one you're speaking about is the family version. Mm. It's between 2 and 6 for like 2,000 Rand or 1,999. I think if you do have bandy up, like I mentioned earlier, with a small business idea for three people, you could do something similar with six of your friends and sort of try and cut costs and still have access to these features, but a bit cheaper.
There you have it, folks. Microsoft is going to be charging you on a monthly basis to use their services. Hopefully this results in better services, I suppose, for those that are looking for those services, but also those that are considering whether or not this makes sense financially might have different decisions to make. We'll leave the conversation there. Nafisa, thanks as always. Always lovely to catch up with you and to learn something, especially when it comes to tech. Nafisa Akabor, who is the founder of recharged.co.za, but also our resident tech specialist, joining us to take a look at some of the changes Microsoft will be implementing towards their subscription models.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.